name's Mark, and it's wonderful to have you here at Hope Church to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate the resurrection. I love Easter Sunday. It is the great reversal. It is the day we celebrate Jesus died, 3 days later rose again. The empty cross, the empty tomb. For many years I was a school teacher. And I used to get asked to do Easter assemblies, both in primary schools and in secondary schools. And one of the things I used to talk about when I was asked to do an Easter assembly was one of the major differences between Christianity and all the other world faiths. You see, there is a grave to Abraham, and there is a grave in Medina to Muhammad. And there is a grave to every great man or woman that has walked this planet. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is only an empty tomb. And the thing we have to remember is, what is the easiest way to blow Christianity out of the water? The easiest way would be to produce a body. But in 2,000 years, nobody has ever had a credible claim for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ verified. You see, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is both intellectually credible and the evidence is strong. And let me tell you, if you've got many, many questions, I would encourage you to sign up to our Alpha course. Now, what I'm going to do today is we're going to look at three questions from the Easter story. Three questions that we're going to pick out of the reading, which is going to come from John 20, the account of that first Easter Sunday morning. So we're going to read it. We're going to read it, come up on the screen, or you can follow in your Bible or on your phone. But we're going to read the Easter Sunday morning account, and we're going to look at three questions from the passage which relate to each and every one of us. So let's start John 20 and verses 1 to 2. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Mary doesn't understand what has happened. She thinks someone has stolen the body. If we read on the next few verses, we're going to skip a couple of verses, but if we read on the next few verses, you'll read that Peter and John run straight inside the tomb, and they're confused about what they see, and then they run back to their homes. So we'll pick up the account on verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at his head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and sisters and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Mary was the last one at the cross and the first one at the tomb. And she had to answer three questions in this passage. The same three questions that each one of us need to answer. The first question that Mary needed to answer was, why are you crying? Firstly, in verse 13, we read that Mary looks inside the dark tomb. The other two disciples, Peter and John, have gone back home. Mary looks inside this dark tomb and she saw a couple of angels. They say to her, woman, why are you crying? I was just thinking about this week. It's like the angels weren't trained in counseling, were they? Why are you crying? You know, there's nothing kind of like gentle about this. You know, it's blunt. It's to the point. Why are you crying, woman? Why are you crying? But Mary doesn't react badly. She doesn't say, how dare you? How dare you? I'm offended by your question. No, she says, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have laid him. And then, a couple of verses later, Mary turns around, and she sees a man that she assumes was the gardener. Now, this was a very kind of obvious, straightforward thing for her to assume. It makes perfect sense, because the Bible tells us that the tomb that Jesus was laid in was carved out of a cliff edge. It was carved into a piece of rock. And the garden was owned by a very rich man called Joseph of Arimathea. So it made perfect sense for Joseph of Arimathea to have a gardener who would look after his garden that he owned and look after this brand new tomb that Jesus had been placed into. So it was a very natural assumption for her to think that this man standing there was a gardener. And Jesus asked her the same question, why are you crying? I think the angels asked the question out of curiosity. I think the angels were almost like, well, Jesus is alive. We've seen him. So why are you crying? We don't quite understand. Why are you crying? Jesus, on the other hand, asked the same question out of compassion. He loved Mary. His heart was moved by those tears. He knew the answer, but he just wanted her to say it. And again, Mary gives an honest answer. They've taken my Lord away and I don't know where he is. Again, listen, she's not saying I'm fine. No, I'm fine. It's this gardener. I don't want to be embarrassed. No, I'm absolutely fine. No, she says, they've taken my Lord away. I don't know where he is. There's a question that Jesus is asking each and every one of us, which is, why are you crying? To be honest, to be real about what is going on internally in our lives. For us not to just say, oh, I'm okay. Everything is fine. The reality is, it's not. I don't know each and every one of you, but I would be certain that there would be something going on in your life which would be causing you pain, distress, or sorrow. Maybe it's the stinging of death of a loved one. Maybe it's the hurt from a recent medical diagnosis. Maybe it's the pain of seeing not yourself, but a loved one suffer. Maybe it's your eyes are full of tears because of the problems that your children are facing. Maybe it's the betrayal of friends or family. Maybe it's the loneliness of everyday life and the monotony of routine. Maybe it's the pain of dreams unrealized. Maybe it's the mental anguish from lack of sleep and battling with demons. The list is endless. But Jesus sees our pain. He cares about our suffering. And none of us is immune to tears, to pain, to sorrow. For myself, in the last year, I've known the pain of my mum passing away very unexpectedly after a very short battle with cancer. Over the years, I've known the sorrow and pain of dreams deferred, of being let down by others in authority or those around me, knowing the ongoing struggles and heartache of life. The point is, tears come to us all. Jesus is asking each and every one of us this Easter morning. He is saying, why are you crying? He's saying, take off the mask. Admit your pain. Admit your struggle. And only then can you begin to receive the healing, the salvation that is found in Jesus alone. So the first question is, why are you crying? The second question is, who are you looking for? Verse 15, Jesus asked Mary, who are you looking for? Again, I noticed something that I'd not seen before, that Mary's answer, it really does demonstrate her love for Jesus, because she says, sir, if you carried him away, I will go and get him. Now, I hadn't thought this through. Maybe you had. I hadn't thought this through. What's she saying? What's Mary saying? Mary is saying that she would go to wherever Jesus was, and she would pick up a grown man who would have been heavy, because body's weight is heavy, who'd been wrapped in 77 pounds of spices by Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea, and she on her own would carry Jesus back to the tomb. Can you see? She's saying, she's demonstrating such love. She's demonstrating incredible, that's a picture of love. Her saying, look, I don't know where he is. I don't know where he's gone. But if you've taken him, I'll go and get, however far it is, I'll go and get him. I'll pick him up, however heavy he is. And I'll walk under the weight of this dead body, and I'll walk back and put him in the tomb. Because Mary loved the Lord Jesus so much. She didn't have any hope at that point. She didn't have any faith at that point, but she still had a love for Jesus. But Jesus can't contain himself any longer. He says her name. He says, Mary. 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 And this is the moment that this question was answered for Mary, because Mary was looking for Jesus and she found him. Now, let me tell you, every single person on this planet is looking for something or someone, searching for truth, searching for purpose. Maybe you're looking to accumulate great wealth. Maybe you're looking to experience the great thrills and opportunities this world has to offer. Maybe you're looking to climb the ladder of success. Maybe you're looking to find true love. The list goes on. But Mary found the one true thing that gives us fulfillment and purpose and gives us a future. In Luke chapter 20, there's the story of Jesus at the home of Mary and her sister Martha. And in that busyness of Martha bustling around, we have verse 42, which says, Jesus says, you are worried and anxious about many things, but Mary has found the one thing that won't be taken away from her. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Mary found the one thing that gives life meaning, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Darius and DeMarco so bravely came up to do earlier. They came up to publicly say to you that they have found the one thing that is worth living for, which is Jesus Christ. Now, let me help you with this, because for some of us, this happens in a moment. For some, this happens very gradually. You know, two of my massive heroes in Christianity, two of my massive kind of modern day heroes of the faith is a man called C.S. Lewis and a man called Nicky Cruz. And they illustrate this point really, really well, because C.S. Lewis is the man who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia. He's written some other brilliant books, Surprised by Joy, all kinds of great books. He's a real intellect. He was a professor at Oxford. And after countless conversations with people like G.K. Chesterton, countless conversations with J.R. Tolkien, who wrote the Lord of the Rings books, who was a committed Christian. After countless conversations, years of debate, C.S. Lewis still wasn't sure whether he would put his faith and trust in Jesus. There's decades, years and years of written down, chronicled debates about the points of faith. And then C.S. Lewis says this. He was riding one day on a bus in Oxford. And this is C.S. Lewis says. He says, a sense of opportunity arose to open the door to God and let him in. That day, Lewis submitted to God as what he called himself, the most reluctant convert to Christianity. In other words, C.S. Lewis found what he was looking for. Gradually, step by step, almost reluctantly, he found that Jesus was the answer. Nicky Cruz was a 1970s kind of gang leader in the streets of New York. And he terrified people at knife point. He would run. Many of the areas in New York were no-go areas because Nicky Cruz and his gangs patrolled those streets of darkness. And in the 1970s, one night, Nicky Cruz met a skinny white preacher named David Wilkinson, who told him about the love of Jesus. He heard the transforming message of the Lord Jesus Christ that he'd never heard. It did his head so much in that to begin with, he said to David Wilkinson, I will, if you don't be quiet and stop telling me about Jesus, I will cut you up into 1,000 pieces. The response of David Wilkinson was, every one of those will say to you, Jesus loves you. And if you read the book, Run Baby Run, it's a brilliant, brilliant testimony of Nicky Cruz's life. And he goes from this feared gang leader to a preacher, to a church leader. He was transformed by the love of God. In a moment, he gave his life to Jesus at a crusade in a cold hall in the streets of New York. He gave his life to Jesus and his life was transformed. So whether it's gradual or whether it's suddenly, both of those two men found what they were looking for. They found the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask the third question. The third question in this passage, which is, will you fall before Jesus as your Lord and Master? Jesus couldn't conceal his identity any longer. He says, Mary, Mary. At that moment, the scales dropped off Mary's eyes and her despair turned to delight. And what's her response? Verse 16, her response is, she says, Rabboni, which means master. And she fell at his feet and she began to worship Jesus. But Jesus says, don't hold on to me. Go and tell my disciples that I live. It's interesting. We haven't got time to go into it all and study it all, but we can see this in all the different gospel accounts. They're all confirmed that when there's this realization that it was Jesus who had died but was now risen, the response of the women of Mary and the disciples, the response was to worship. One other example, Matthew 28. Just verses 8-9, just so you see that across the gospel accounts, we can see the same response. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. That was their response. When they found what they were looking for, when they found that Jesus was resurrected, had come back to life, their response was to get down on their knees and to worship. Again, let me ask you this question. Have you fallen on your knees and declared Jesus as Lord? Now, you may be sitting here today and you consider yourself a bit of a skeptic. I've got questions, Mark. I'm not sure about this, that, and the other. That's absolutely fine. There's a man, one of the disciples in the resurrection stories of the gospel, called Thomas. He was a disciple. Disciple of Jesus who spent 3 years with Jesus. And when Jesus appeared to the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. He was missing. He was somewhere else. So when they came back and told Thomas, Jesus is alive. Jesus has appeared. We saw him. We touched him. He's real. He's real. Thomas didn't believe. He said, unless I see, unless I put my hands on his nail-pierced hands and nail-pierced feet, I will not believe. 1 week later, with the doors locked, Jesus appears to the disciples, and this time Thomas is there. Jesus says to him, put your hands here. Touch, see my side where the spear separated, blood and water, to prove that I died. Jesus says to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. What is interesting is, what is Thomas's response? Thomas's response is, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Will you fall before Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Will you make that same confession? Will you say, Jesus Christ, you are the one who has defeated death, risen again, and I fall before you as my Lord and Master and the one who I follow. You see, the Bible is very clear. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's very interesting is Romans 10 verse 9 says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, something really interesting about that verse. Firstly, it doesn't say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he fed 5,000. Or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he walked on water. No, no, no. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess that he is Lord, and believe that he was raised from the dead. You see, the resurrection isn't just any ordinary miracle. It's the sign that verifies who Jesus claimed to be. It's the sign that verifies he is the Son of God who died in our place and 3 days later rose again. So we see in this Easter passage, we see the sorrow of Mary. We see the searching for Jesus. And then we see the surrender that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So let me bring this to a close. These three questions that we see in the passage are three questions that we all need to answer. Why are you crying? In other words, what's the pain going on in your life right now? What's the struggle? What's the sorrow? What is difficult? What is it that keeps you up at night? What is it that goes round and round and round in your head? Who are you looking for? Who are you looking for? Where do you find purpose? Where do you find meaning in life? And will you fall before Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I used to do Kids Club for many years. I used to love doing Kids Club. And we in Kids Club would put those three questions in A, B, C. Okay? A. Why are you crying? A. Admit. Admit your pain. Admit your loneliness. Admit your struggles. Admit your need for a Savior. Who are you looking for? B, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the answer. Believe that he is your Savior. Believe that he is for you, that he died for you and rose again. And C, confess. Will you get down on your knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? admit, believe, confess. So as a response, I'm going to give and mention two things. Alex always mentioned it, already mentioned it, but I would encourage you, if you've never done an Alpha course, we've got one starting in a few weeks' time on a Tuesday here with a meal at this particular venue, and we would love for you to ask those questions around, who are you looking for? What's the purpose of life? What is it about who Jesus is and who he says he is? It's an opportunity to delve into those questions and find that Jesus is the answer. And we're going to just pray a prayer in a moment. We're going to pray a prayer together. And if you have never prayed a prayer to ask the Lord Jesus into your life, if you have never began that journey, maybe today is the day you take that first step to begin that journey, to follow Jesus and to fall at his feet in